Elder David Wise.
I'm very thankful for the things that have gone before. You know, not only do we need an alignment, but sometimes we need some transmission flushes, and we need our oil changed. And let me tell you, I needed my chassis lubricated, and I tell you, I'm so thankful for the messages this morning, and for the spirit-filled singing. You know, it's easy to. It gives you a lot more confidence to stand in front of the Lord's people when you felt the Spirit in the song service. And please be in prayer for me and for the remainder of the service that the things that we say would be profitable and hopefully what the Lord would have for us today. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9... One of those beautiful old Baptist proof texts, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which is given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. I want to consider this afternoon the holy calling that we have. The holy calling that God has, in Hebrews 3 and 1, we're told we are partakers of the heavenly calling. Now, if it's a heavenly calling, that means it comes from heaven. Right. Does it come from men? It comes from heaven. We see that heavenly calling take place in Acts chapter 9, where there's a man that was on the way to throw Christians into prison, and the next thing you know, those same people that he was wanting to throw them in prison for were wanting to kill him because he was preaching the name of Jesus. And what's the difference between him when he left on that journey and when he arrived? It was the heavenly calling. It was Jesus Christ coming and personally intervening in the life of a man who knows the Apostle Paul. But first of all, we want to consider, you know, as we, I don't want to be too, sometimes when I try to preach, I've got my bullet points and I try to make sure I hit all my bullet points and try to be too systematic, but I just want you to meditate with me for a moment in Psalms chapter 8. And I'm so thankful for the messages that have gone before. When we understand who we are by nature and who God is, and we see that God, for some reason, saw fit to bestow His grace upon us, what I want to end up making my way around to is Ephesians 4:1. What do we do with this calling? In light of the calling that's been on our life, what's our responsibility? What do we do? And how do we try to repay a sovereign God who saw fit to save us by nothing more than His grace? In Psalms chapter 8, and I can't put this into perspective accurately, so I'm just going to read the verse. You know, when we look at all of God's creation, and whether it be the universe that's so expansive or the intricacies of the human body, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, and the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him?
Yeah, right.
And the son of man that thou visitest him?
Right.
I'm so thankful for the message that we began this meeting with, to understand who we are by nature. We're just collections of dirt.
Right.
So we got that base groundwork, and then we had Brother Josh deliver us a message that said God spoke life into that dirt. And that's exactly where we're at this morning. That God saw fit to bestow upon us a heavenly calling to a little collections of dirt that God saw fit to mold together and make a piece of clay.
Right.
Like a small little vessel for His honor and for His glory. But when you understand, when you just kind of take a step back and look at the universe and look at all the majesty of God's creation and understand that He's a sovereign God that doesn't, you know, sometimes we think that God needs us. He doesn't need us. Like, He didn't have to create us.
Right.
But He did.
Right.
And He saw fit to bestow a heaven. What is man? What is man that thou art even mindful of him? What is it? What is this little insignificant piece of dust that you're even mindful of him? Let alone that you would give your only begotten Son.
Right.
Your only begotten Amen. Son for this insignificant yeah. piece of dust. When I consider who God is anyway,
right.
how could He even be mindful of me? But when I consider who God is in that respect and who I am, even more so, how could He love someone like me? And how could He give up the thing that was the most precious yeah. to Him in all of His existence? How could he love me so? The Bible says, how?
Right.
How? Now, when we consider that God in His infinite sovereignty saw fit to bestow His love upon us, it's amazing in itself. It's amazing that He would see fit to love people like us and Himself. But then, have you ever considered why God saw fit to allow us to be born in this time and in this country and to the families that we've been in? You know, I didn't have to fight for the truth. You know, I had it forced on me. Thank you, Dad. In hindsight.
Amen, bro.
And these meetings, you know, I hope I can be as cruel to my kids as Dad was to me, dragging me to these meetings on the weekends. Because, you know what, in hindsight, now that I am where I'm at, I'm grateful.
Amen.
But you know what? There's people out there in other countries. Okay, let's just not take our time. People that were born children of God, that were born in other times and in other cultures, that had no knowledge of the name of Jesus. They had no way of knowing it. First of all, that needs to give us so much more gratitude and
Amen.
Thankfulness
Amen.
For this word that we have.
Amen.
You know, God saved us. You know, He's sovereign. He saw fit to love us. He saw fit to save us. And whether He wrote this word and told us about it would have no bearing on our eternal security. Zero. But He was gracious enough to tell us about it.
Amen.
And the reason He was so gracious enough to tell us about it is because there's salvation and the gospel, so many other things, so many of these gifts that you have by believing what God's already done for you. But you know what? The blessings that we have in the church, think about Abraham, who's a lone man. He's a lone wolf. We have this community and this fellowship. We have the Word of God. We have the church. I mean, look at all the blessings that we have here in this time.
Amen.
And why am I here at this time? Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. It's the only answer I have. I mean, God in His sovereignty saw fit to place me in this time, in this place, in the family that I was born to. And it could have been, and in His sovereignty, it could have been anywhere else, at any other time. But Him in His sovereignty, He saw fit to put me here. And then when we consider the admonition of Mordecai to Esther, he said, "Art thou come to the kingdom at such a time as this?" That makes me meditate. In this kingdom that we have right here, why? You know?
Yeah.
Do you ever think about those things?
Yeah.
Do you ever think about why did God allow me to be born in America, to the family that I did, to have the upbringing that I did? Why? And I don't have the answer to that. That's for you to meditate on. But the point is that we don't deserve anything that the Lord has saw fit to give us.
Amen.
But because of His calling in our life, what effect does that have on us? What effect does that have on us? Well, first of all, just a few little points. How do we receive this call? Now, you know, it's kind of funny. When you, at least my mental picture of how the majority of other denominations present this calling, my mental picture is, as far as Jesus Christ is the life giver, Jesus Christ has got these Got these heart paddles. I'm not in medical things, so whatever the paddles are. And you've got a dead person laying there. And he's ready to jump you onto life. And he just says, I just need you to accept me. Well, let me tell you, that's going to be very anticlimactic. I think we understand that dead people are not going to say, okay, then I need you to accept this life. I'm ready to give you. Again, it's going to be very anticlimactic. It's going to be the same old story. Because a dead person can't accept, believe, whatever requirement you place on that dead person, they're not going to accept it.
Amen.
To receive the life that's waiting on them on the other side.
Right.
That's why it has to be a heavenly calling. That's why it has to come from the resurrection and the life, like we've
Amen.
Already heard. Thankful
right.
for that.
Right.
But it's not that Jesus Christ is sitting here with the paddles, if you'll just accept me, I'm ready to give you life. No. We arise and walk because we have already been given life.
Amen.
Amen.
But because of this calling in our life. Well, let me take a step back. As we relate it to our natural birth, you know, what control did I have over my natural birth, the circumstances of my natural birth? I think we all understand. None. And when we consider the concept of adoption, and we consider the picture that's presented of God's chosen people in Ezekiel 16, this child that's unable to help themselves, is it up to the parents to ask this helpless child to say, I just need you to sign on the dotted line. I need you to accept me so I can then adopt you. Well, we're chuckling, you know, but the fact of the matter is, that's how it's presented. No, it's just as sovereign. God is just as sovereign in our eternal birth and in our eternal calling as He is in our natural calling. Galatians 1 and 15, when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace. They're just as, you had just as much activity, just as much participation in your spiritual birth as you did in your natural birth. Now, how much activity did you have in your natural birth?
None.
There we go. Amen. There we go. So it's not that God is waiting on us to receive this calling. It's not. He's just Jesus, you know, there's a popular website, Jesus Calling. Well, it's not Jesus calling, it's just Jesus called, you know, who has saved us and called us by His holy calling. He's just as sovereign in His spiritual birth as it is in our natural birth.
Amen. That's right.
But have you ever, along these same lines, have you ever really considered, you know, like you think about the Apostle Paul, God is just as sovereign in His ability to do it, but He's just as sovereign in the timing of regeneration. You know, I mean, you think about Paul. Why was he not quickened earlier? Why did God allow him to throw these people in prison? And why did He allow these people to do these things? And I don't have an answer to this. Again, God is sovereign in the eternal quickening, just as He is in natural. And that's up to Him. But if we just look at the Apostle Paul, I mean, is there anyone that was more, and I don't understand all these things, I don't pretend to, but is there anyone that was more suited for the calling that he ended up being pursuing in his life? Would he have been able to do that in the capacity that he did if he had not been this zealous Pharisee? If he had not been brought up at the feet of Gamaliel, if he did not have this unique understanding of both Roman law, because he was a Roman citizen, and being a Pharisee.
Right.
I mean, again, I don't fully understand it, but in some manner, he allowed Paul to progress in his own path, in his own depravity, to a certain extent, to where he used that to his glory in the end run. I don't understand that. I don't really understand, you know, the full context of that. But again, you see the sovereignty of God in regeneration. Why does He quicken some people in the womb. And why does he wait to the thief on the cross until right before he passes away? I don't know. I don't know. But he's just as sovereign in the heavenly call as he is in the natural call. Just as he saw fit to allow us to be born at a certain time, in a certain place, in a certain manner, God in his sovereignty saw fit to allow us to be born again by his Spirit in a certain place, in a certain time, in a certain manner. Well, the same manner. I mean, you understand what I say. You understand what I mean. But I don't understand that. And then, as I meditate on possibly the spiritual application for the Church of God of Mordecai's admonition to Esther, why did God see fit to place me here in this time and here in this place and allow me to be quickened at the time that I did? Why? Why? I don't know. But I'm going to allow you to meditate on that. What your individual calling is in your individual life. But we all have a certain calling that I want to look at. In Ephesians 4 and 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Now, it's interesting the different callings that we have in Scripture, and sometimes you just follow things blindly without questioning them. And I always heard people say, "Well, I just felt called to be a doctor, and I just felt called to do all these things." I mean, I'm not as well learned in Scripture as many other people, but I haven't found a biblical basis for a professional calling, because Paul's admonition is it doesn't matter what you do. You just do everything to the glory of God. It doesn't really matter what your profession is. Now, there's a certain extent in when we have certain skills. I mean, I think it makes a lot of sense to, you know, if you have a certain talent, it makes a lot of sense to use that talent. But it doesn't really matter what you do, because every single thing that you do, you're supposed to do it to the glory of God. So this is not talking about you find your calling in life, you find your vocation. No, it's talking about because of God's holy and heavenly calling in your life, now you need to act like it. Let's read in Second Peter. Excuse me. 1 Peter 2:9. That you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Okay? You've been called out of darkness into His marvelous light, but now, what was the purpose of this calling? It's for you to show forth the praises of the person who called you. You know? You know, what's the purpose of the calling? It's so that you praise Him for the calling. You catch that? If you, what's the purpose of the calling is that you praise Him because that He called you and He saw fit to love you and those beautiful doctrines we've already heard expounded on. That's the reason that He called you. Is so now you can just turn right back around and praise Him for what He's already done. That's the purpose of it. But in light of this calling, what effect does this have in my life? That you are worthy of the vocation.
Yeah.
That you are worthy of this calling. Okay, well, it's a holy calling. First thing you need to do with a holy calling, I would think, is to be ye holy as I am holy.
Right. Yep.
It's a holy calling. We're told in Matthew, it's at the end of one of the chapters in the Sermon on the Mount. It says, "Be ye perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect." Well, if we're supposed to walk worthy of our holy calling, except that's to be perfect. In the sense that we can be. Now, we understand there's nothing to do with good, and man is best states altogether vanity. You know, we all understand depravity, right? But the perfection that's under consideration is a maturity. One of the definitions that I like that I like in reading in this is lacking in no completeness. That means you are not lacking in your maturity and your completeness. You're not lacking anything. It says to be ye perfect, to be holy. You know, it's interesting in this exact same chapter here in Ephesians 4, you know, we're supposed to walk worthy of the calling wherewith we are called. And then he explains the, goes on into the gifts in the church. And if you notice, he gave verse 11, he gave apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. But what was the purpose of God calling men into these walks? What's the purpose of it? For the perfecting of the saints. You know, why did he call people into the ministry? It's to perfect you.
Right.
And to perfect me too. I mean, the entire body of Christ. You know, but we look at 2 Timothy 3:16. All scriptures given by inspiration of God. We'll go find our way to the next verse there. Let me just read it. Second Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. It's given for all of these profitable admonitions. But why was the word of God given? That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished, to all good works. Why did God call the ministry? To perfect you. Why did God give us the word? To perfect you. Be ye perfect, as your Father in heaven is perfect. We're supposed to walk worthy of the calling. Ephesians 5:8. You were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Why are you in the light? Well, God called you into the light. He called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. The life shined on. It along those same lines, you know, considering God's life-giving and resurrecting work in regeneration. You know, it's interesting when you talk about the kind of the foolish analogy of the potter and the clay. It's like, is anybody really going to sit here and argue that the clay is going to be like, all right now, potter, we need to have a discussion. You can't do that without my consent, you know.
Right.
Well, that's foolish. Well, it's just as foolish to think that a piece of dirt can say, all right now, Lord.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
We need to talk right. about, before you breathe right. life into me, right. we need to talk about this.
Right.
You know, how foolish is it to think that darkness can say, all right, Lord, I like being in the dark. We need to talk about this before you shine the light and I'm extinguished. That's foolish. Yeah. That's foolish.
Right,
and that's the beauty of cause and effect, the sovereignty of God. But the reason that we're in the light is because God called us in the light. But look at the admonition. Look at the admonition. Walk as children of light. He said, you know what? I've called you out of darkness into my marvelous light. Now he said, don't you go back into the darkness. Act like it.
Amen.
He said, walk as children of light.
Right.
He said, act like it. That's our admonition. To walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you were called. He said, I've called you out of darkness. I did the calling. Now it's up to you to act like it. I've made you light. Now, act like it.
Amen.
Just going to give one more admonition here in Philippians 3. Now if we think about Paul, Apostle Paul, if there's anyone, of course, he in the first part of this chapter, he actually does kind of give us a list of his resume, if you will, his natural resume. And if there's anyone that had a reason to think, to rest on his own laurels,
right.
or to say
right.
that I have now attained this perfection that I've been preaching to you about, I've finally made it, you know.
Right.
Philippians 3, verse 12, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. Now let me tell you, if there's anyone that's ever been on this earth that could stand up and say, I have come as close as I can to perfection, this is the guy. This is him. And he says, I'm not even close.
Yeah, amen.
He said, not as though I'd already attained, either were already perfect. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I have been apprehended of Christ.
Amen.
Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended to... Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. This is the admonition. This is the admonition right here. Forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
He's pressing toward the calling. Now, he's already been called. You see that? He's already been called, but he's pressing toward the calling. And I'll just leave you with that exact same admonition. Forgetting those things which are before, which are behind, and just press forward unto those things which are before. Why? Why? Because we have a responsibility for our calling to walk worthy. To walk worthy of the calling. And we walk worthy of the calling when we press toward the high calling. It's a heavenly calling. It's a holy calling. It's a high calling. I hope you understand the, I guess just the majestic, this, do you realize how privileged, Psalms 8, the God who created all this universe and for some reason saw fit to bestow His love upon these little bitty conglomerations of dirt that He brought life into, He saw fit to bestow His holy, perfect, spotless Spirit into this broken vessel.
Right.
Amen.
Now, that should leave you in awe.
Amen.
Yeah.
And again, what's the purpose of the calling? The purpose of the calling is that you show forth the praises because He's already called you.
Right.
You see that?
Yeah. Amen.
The reason why you walk worthy of your calling is because of the salvation you've already got.
Right.
That's the cause and the effect. So, admonish you just as Paul did, because he said, my goal is I'm still pressing toward the mark.
Amen.
I'm pressing toward the prize of the high calling of God. And I admonish you to do the same thing today and as we leave this assembly, to let our light shine in a manner that's honoring and glorifying to our Lord and Savior.
Amen.
Take the name of Jesus with you.